This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
What up, High Fivers? Your boy High Five Tom, and I just want to do a really quick preamble before we dive into the awesome episode that we had with You're Too Slow and our good friend Mr. Beaumont of the Brainbuster Boys, our special guest, as we dove into a not-so-awesome episode of TV. And we will dive into this real quick a little bit more next week, as, spoiler alert, the TV episode from last week is... Well, it's a Rage Road trip, so, but to keep it positive here, I do want to shout out real quick, obviously, the day we recorded this, the Iron Sheik passed away, and we didn't even mention it in the episode, which makes me a complete asshole. So we will dive a little bit more into it, you know, next week. You know, I am a bit older both than Will and Beaumont, so maybe not quite the cultural impact that the Iron Sheik had on them as they did me. But obviously, the simple fact is the Iron Sheik might be one of the most important, well, actually is, I mean, bar none, one of the most important figures in wrestling slash sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, to this day. I mean, if the Iron Sheik doesn't do business, we probably don't get Hulkamania, and we'll dive into that. And also, you know, the younger generation does know this iteration of the Iron Sheik from Twitter. You know, and the resurgence that he's had, you know, it was good to see that he got, you know, the last, you know, 10 plus years, you know, he got some pub. Make sure you do watch out the Iron Sheik movie. It is great. The Iron Sheik was a bad motherfucker, IRL, you know, for sure. So we will dive into it a little bit more, but I just want to say real quick, to rest in peace to the Iron Sheik. Thank you for everything, you know, and we will miss your tweets and everything. And yes, Rob, I know he has a social media person that sends those tweets out, but like I always say, it's still reading me. But hope everyone enjoys this episode. This is a lot of fun. Hope to have Beaumont on in one form or another in the near future. This is a long time coming and well worth the wait. So thank you so much, High Fivers, and I'll talk to everybody next week. Well, what up, High Fivers? Per the usual, this is your boy, High Five Tom, and I do have my very good friend here on the other side of the country, Mr. Will at Blend. Will, how are you this evening?
Doing all right, Tom. It was the first farmer's market of the year.
Well, that's dope.
So, you know, we got to go out, and Brittany got to spend a lot of my money. But it was all right, because I got a brookie, and it was delicious.
A what?
Nice.
It's a... bottom layer's cookie.
Whoa.
Like, then, like, peanut butter cups in the middle. Then a brownie on top.
Wow, that sounds like a diabetic nightmare.
Yeah.
Of amazingness.
And, I mean, the heavy hitter there is the little, like, lemonade stand that's set up there. I get the Limeade.
Nice.
Nice. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Limeade is fire.
That yeah. Sandwich sounds like, you know, if you have like a dessert spread at like a Thanksgiving dinner, you started taking stuff and stacking it on top of each other, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to have to try that next family get together, which will be 4th of July. So so we'll see what we got there. I'm sure we'll have some.
Yeah, they do a lot of things like that. But I mean, these ones they use like peanut butter. They've made a lot of them. They just have like a frosting kind of like to hold the two
yeah
together. But so you can get a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Nice. Well, and as everybody heard, we are not alone. We have one half of the infamous Brainbuster Boys podcast, and basically Brainbuster Boys in general as human beings. But my good friend, someone who's actually slept in my house and hung out with my cats, Mr. Yes. Beaumont Rand of the Brainbuster Boys. Bo, how are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on, Tom. Hope your cats are doing well.
They are good.
And yeah.
We had a little incident today, but I think Smokus is okay. But in addition to Bull, we have Mr. Micah Pellegrini of Specifically Devoid Entertainment. Micah, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I am fucking great. So it's good to have you two on. You know, it's been a while. Will and I have been talking about doing this for a while. But yeah, how's everyone? Well, obviously, I mean, Bull and Micah, how's your year been since last time I talked to you guys?
Excuse me.
Oh no, mine's been pretty good. Can't believe it's already half over. I turned 35 on May 25th, so not too long ago. So yeah, you know, it's been really busy. You know, I've been working on Brainbuster Boys. I'm editor for a couple different podcasts too, so I'm kind of really knee deep into that. So yeah, you know, like kind of getting more involved in just podcasting in general has really marked my 2023, which has been good. You know, I also have a part-time teaching gig that ended, so I have like a lot of free time and I don't have to be around a bunch of teenagers, which Ooh. I'm sure which Micah, do you teach teenagers?
I do. I teach high school.
You teach high? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you know, my kids are high school age too. So it's like, all right, like now that I have like some breathing room from them, it's like, what do I do? You know, what do I complain about? You know, well, I like when I'm like driving in my car, what do I like bitch to myself about? What's my stream of consciousness bitching? You know, right now it's empty, you know, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with this, you know, newfound emotional freedom?
Man, I'm not a religious person, but you guys fucking teaching high schoolers are doing the fucking Lord's work. God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's good stuff. You know, I don't know, like I've been able to put up with teaching, you know, I mostly have done community college in the past, but yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, I can kind of put up with 2 days a week. If I did it 5 days a week, I probably would have been long gone a long time ago.
Yeah. So. Micah, what grades do you teach then?
I teach 9 and 12.
See, I do 9 too. I do 9 and 10.
God, that's a horrible age too, because you're just in that straight up asshole mode.
Yeah.
At least by the time.
Yeah, but I give it back to them. I mean, like, I think I'm pretty witty. And like these kids think that they've invented all the tricks about how to do stuff. And it's just like, I didn't even invent half these tricks. So.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, it was a long time ago for me to be that age, but yeah, I do remember. So,
well, when you're bringing booze into school, it must be a lot easier, huh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for us it was just throwing a scope bottle, just making sure it looked like scope. So,
yeah. No, yeah, for me and Micah, you just bring it, just, you know, straight up, right?
I just have the fireball.
No, you've got the whole like fireball like cooler. They got it bars. You know? Like, yeah, like it's not even hidden. You just have it in there.
It's like, can I get some water? It's just like, yeah, just give me a little shot of water.
Just fireball.
Yeah. Other than that, Will, how's your week been, buddy? Besides, obviously, you got to go to the farmer's market and you got some new merch to see.
No new merch.
Oh, it's a badass t-shirt.
I've had this for a little while, my King Parrot shirt. The last merch I did pick up, though, was one of the new Shining Wizards Network t-shirts with the Memorial Day sale.
Oh, nice. Which one did you get?
I got the new Wizards Network design, the one with the microphone.
Sweet. Yeah, also part of our, you know, someone that also takes very good care of us. I'm sure we'll mention the Shining Wizards throughout this episode. But, yeah, my week was good. I saw some wrestling on Sunday, a really good time. It was actually the first All Pride wrestling show in Illinois. That was good to see. So I do want to shout out my good friends. I did have my good friend, the MC, Mr. Germ T. Ripper, on the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. And also a former guest, my good friend, Mr. Greg Moondog Murray. And then Mateo, shout out to Mateo Valentine, who actually put the show together, and he was in the main event with world renowned Effie. So I'm sure you guys know who Effie is, the wrestler. So yeah, that was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then real quick, I want to put over as heard on Visionaries Global Media. I was on a podcast with Bo's other half, on the Phoenix Splash podcast, talking some New Japan wrestling. So it's good to actually talk some current wrestling. I've been pretty down on general wrestling, but as Will can attest in our text thread, I was super into the Best of Super Juniors this year. So yeah, it's been a good week.
Best of Super Juniors was really good, but as Matt and Kieran pointed out on Bride Club, if you miss a day, it's really hard to catch back up. And I missed one day, then I missed a second day, then I missed a third day. And at that point, it's just like, I can't watch. I don't have enough time to dedicate to watch and catch up at this point. Then, especially when I saw who the finals were, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch. I don't know if there's enough there to make me really want to watch.
Did you watch the final?
No.
You should.
Then I accidentally picked Master Wado in our Wizards pick for whatever. For Dominion or whatever.
Yeah.
I accidentally put in Wado instead of Hiromu, and of course he lost.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, that final was the best match of the tournament.
Well, you'd hope it would be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love Teton, I mean, he broke my chair. And the one time, I mean, Bull, we've been to wrestling shows together.
Yeah.
Will and I, me and you have been to wrestling shows. I don't like missing matches. But I was at a Ring of Honor show, and there's no intermission, and I was a couple beers deep, and, you know, I'm a little older, so I got to pee every 10 minutes, so I had to fucking pee. I came back, and my goddamn chair was shattered because Teton landed in it and shattered it.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was like, God damn it. The one time I don't like leaving matches, so.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But gentlemen, like I said, and you guys are more than welcome to jump into the questions here.
And I just want to throw this out there, Tom. You brought up the All Pride show. I still have a little bit of regret that I did not go to the Wrestle Queerdom show. Just because of the headspace I was in and just all the negativity that was kind of building around the event leading up to the event, to the point where it's the day of the event and there was a bunch of people going, is it actually happening? Like, is there actually going to be a show there?
Yeah.
And it did. And it would have been cool to meet like Edith Surreal and, could have met Impact's Giselle Shaw, Kid Bandit. So it could have been a really cool thing. I'm glad, your Pride Pro Wrestling event, which went much better than the one in New Hampshire.
Yeah. I had a blast. It was a really good time. It was well attended. It was good to see, actual good friends of mine, succeeding and everything. So, yeah, I had a fucking blast. So, I have a blast wherever the fuck I go. I'm too old not to have fun. So, I'm going to go with the first question here. So, unfortunately, Micah and Bull have not seen this probably. But Will, you saw our one from Rob?
I'm up with it.
So, and obviously, Bo and Mike, if you guys want to answer, obviously your knowledge of the 2013 Ring of Honor roster is limited. But if you want to pick anybody you know from Ring of Honor with this question, but basically, is which Ring of Honor 2013 wrestler would you pick as your spirit animal? Will, you got one?
Am I starting off?
Yeah, because I had one, then I forgot what it was, so I should have typed it down because I got really bad ADD.
Not Mike Mondo. It's not Mike Mondo. You pick Mike Mondo for everything.
I do pick Mike Mondo for a lot of things, but yeah.
Chicken.
You're going to go with Mark Briscoe, huh?
More Mark Briscoe.
That's a good pick. He is a national fucking treasure.
As I brought it before, there is a lot of feels like home quality to Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
And
he's just a funny motherfucker.
He's funny. You picture the little angel on your shoulder, you look over and he smiles that big old grin about the teeth. It's like, that's it.
Yeah. And obviously chickens are animals, so that works out. So I don't know, for some odd reason it popped into my head, Silas Young being from Milwaukee, the last real man. I know he's kind of making his debut here at Ring of Honor. Super dependable. Comes in, he's going to give you a great match every single time. Work rate, he doesn't look like much, but then he gets in the ring, starts kicking people's asses. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Silas Young. Bo, you got anything? Let's see, and you could pick any era of Ring of Honor.
Yes, I do. And I'll actually put this in the chat here for Micah, because I just real quickly, whenever you threw out the question there, there's a list of Ring of Honor people on the roster. And I've got 2013 pulled up. So before Micah picks it, I'm picking Cheeseburger. Brandon Littlejohn, as his name is.
Yeah.
As it says on here. So yeah, Micah, I put that link in there if you want to look at it. It's got the entire roster in there, which it's really loaded. Like, I probably know like at least half the people on here.
No shit. You know, nice.
From WWE or AEW or just wherever, whenever, you know. Yeah.
To dig a little into that, would you, if you had your choice, did you pick, I don't know how familiar you are, but would you pick Cheeseburger or World Famous CB?
Oh, I know. So I saw that was his other nickname. I'm not really familiar with the wrestler at all. I just like Cheeseburger to go kind of go with the food theme with the chicken, Mark Briscoe, that you had going there. If I were picking for wrestling, I like how Eddie Kingston looks here, because like he looks older in this picture than he does now. Like, he looks like a mess in this picture, you know, which I love, you know. So if I'm picking seriously, I'll pick Eddie Kingston.
And Eddie Kingston,
circa 2013. I like that look.
Yeah, and Eddie Kingston making his first G1 appearance this year too, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Who's he fighting?
It's the big tournament they have. Big
tournament. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. So they haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, yep, so there's going to be like 600 matches across like 2 months.
Gotcha. I'm gonna watch all of them, but I work from home, so it's a lot easier for me to do these kind of things, so... Mm-hmm.
I got rid of New Japan World after Super Juniors wrapped up.
Or you know what? I'm switching. I'm going to QT Marshall.
Yeah,
I'll go to QT. Ooh. I love QT. He's just such a great, like, you know, at least in AEW whenever I've seen him. Just, you know, a great, easy to hate heel. Does his job really well. He's never on the main card, but, you know, like, always fun.
And if you get a chance, he's got a really good documentary. A bit past this time, probably like 2016-17, on Tubi.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's free. So I think it's still on there. I think it's one of those ones that's always on Tubi, so that's really good checkout. But speaking of Cheeseburger, so Will and I saw the origin of that nickname. So he was being beaten up by the asshole Charlie Haas. It was your classic, you know, jock beating up on the little guy thing. And he's like, you should eat a cheeseburger. And then he turned into a cheeseburger. Yeah, because right now he's basically like the guy that picks up the streamers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Don't underplay him. He's also the guy who runs out of live events and plants kisses on Maria Kanellis and calls her a cum dumpster.
Yeah, he did. That's a verbatim quote. So he did call her a cum dumpster on a pay-per-view. That was like, wow.
Wow.
Okay, then.
Yeah, that's really deep.
What a career arc Cheeseburger had. He went from like ring crew to a dude who dresses like a cheeseburger, to being a dude who dresses like a cheeseburger, who tag teams with Dushin Liger.
Wow.
And then he became the world famous CB thing, where he came out with like this big gaudy like cowboy hat and like big sunglasses. He kind of looks like a Fortnite character. And now he's kind of reverted to something kind of like in the middle, where he's going by Cheeseburger again, but he still kind of has the look of the world famous CB.
That is hilarious. Micah, you got anybody from the 2013 Ring of Honor that you would consider your spirit animal?
I think Boston's own Mike Bennett is my spirit animal.
That's a great pick. I mean, Mike Bennett fits just so many answers. So
he's I saw him wrestle live. And he's jacked. Yeah. I have no idea like how people don't understand like how absolutely ripped this guy is. He's got to be like 5'9", but like he is like as wide as a fridge.
Yeah, and he's as nice as he appears on TV too. So we're big Mike Bennett fans here. So
I don't know, Tom. He's not very nice in 2013 Ring of Honor.
No, he's kind of an asshole now, but I mean, you know, later on he portrayed so. And the Kingdom still. Oh no, they're actually in AEW, aren't they? Or no, they're in Ring of Honor.
They're in Ring of Honor.
Okay.
It's all one and the same, right?
Yeah, we're not too big fans. This is not our Ring of Honor, but that's a conversation for another time. But obviously, Rob, thank you. Hopefully I'm getting you your stickers here in the next couple of weeks. I got someone heading out to your country soon. Spoiler alert. But yeah, make sure you check out on the Untanking the Territory or unbooking the territory. And if you're not following on taking the territory on Twitter with their daily Tank Abbott appreciation tweets, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, so shout out to those guys. But we will be addressing one of Mr. Eric Freed's of Nattering with E. Just put out a new episode with Brundon, and I think he's got coming up with one of our former guests. But and this is more directed towards Will, and I'm not sure about Micah and Bo if you guys are into comic books or anything, because I don't really know much. But worst comic book you've made it all the way through. Yeah, Will, you want to, obviously you're the comic book guy of our couple here, so.
So, my interest in comics is more recent. So I have the benefit, right, of more so now, like, I kind of cherry pick what I want. You know, there's still a degree of, I might wander around, you know, kind of like how we used to have CDs and vinyl, and you kind of like flip through it and it's like, ooh, this looks cool. Like, and I did do that the other day, and I got it was a decent comic, and there's a really super low budget movie version on YouTube, and I'm like, oh man, I've got to find the time to watch this, because this is probably going to be horrendous. So like, I've had the benefit where like I haven't really picked up anything terrible, because I kind of got into starting to get into comics by just getting something that was by one of my favorite authors anyway.
Okay.
I mean, are there stuff that doesn't as much? Like, I'm reading the new Spider-Man 2099 run, but I'm not super invested in it, but I think it's also just because I don't have a big background in it. So like, I'm just kind of jumping in. And there's a lot of shit I don't know, I don't quite understand, but I just have to kind of accept it. It's like, this is the point in the story I jumped in. Like, they don't have time to catch me up every issue. I'm jumping into something kind of like that's been going for years, so.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Now, I can't say I've had the... Like, I'm not like something like... I'm getting through other podcasts. Like, a lot of people were like into X-Men, and I've been like reading X-Men for a really long time. And they're like, oh, this X-Men was terrible. And this one's like, but yeah, but you guys read it all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because we like X-Men. It's like, well, at what point do you just say, you know what? I'll wait. I'll come back in a month and see if anything's changed.
Well, speaking of X-Men, that's a good segue. Bull, real quick, before he gives your answer, you want to plug one of my personal favorite Brainbuster or Boys efforts when you guys had that couple on from the...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had...
Because they did the original cartoon, right?
They did the 90s cartoon. Yeah, the banana, Julia and Eric LaWald. Yeah. We had some little Twitter exchange. It had to do with Thunder Rosa, actually. She's like, who's your favorite X-Men character? And I posted something about Apocalypse, and it got a lot of likes, and they liked it. And I just shot my shot and messaged them, and they were like, yeah, sure, we'll come on the podcast. And just a few months later, they did. And I always watched that show growing up. They were, you know, amazing. It's her 29th episode, so you got to kind of dig down deep to find it.
But it did very cool.
It's, yeah, man.
Episode 29, you said?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And funny enough, it kind of got brought back up because they're bringing that show back on Disney Plus, or doing a revival or a continuation, I guess is the best term. It's called X-Men 97 now. And while they're not the showrunners specifically, they are, you know, creative consultants to some degree. So that's all coming back. So we were able to kind of post that again. And, you know, I'm excited for them and their show to come back, because people love that. And I know that was something that they were kind of really working toward. You know, they had actually petitioned like Marvel Studios and with Kevin Feige, the guy behind all the MCU and all those movies, that big producer.
Yeah.
And it paid off. So I was really happy to see it pay off for them.
Yeah. And they're a great follow on Twitter too. So I really enjoyed that one. So
yeah, they engage with a lot of people. They're very kind. I love them to death.
Yeah.
I guess for me in comic books, I do want to plug another thing. I saw that Across the Spider-Verse movie last night, which was,
I'm seeing it Friday night. I'm so excited.
It's phenomenal. Like it's so creative with all those different animation styles, and how like it's not just like, oh yeah, here's just a bunch of weird shit thrown at you for the screen. It's very emotive, and really accents the characters and the story. And it's just, it's a wild ride. And I like the first one, but this one, if you like the first one, you'll probably like even more. You know, the first one's more of a self-contained movie, and this is definitely part one of a two-part thing. But yeah, you know, and you mentioned Spider-Man 2099. He's pretty big in it.
I'm very excited for that. I loved, because I just watched, actually, I watched Into the Spider-Verse for the first time
earlier this week. Wow. What'd you think?
It's kind of a lead up. I'm like, man, I really want to see this. And like, I went to like my comic book groups. I want to share your guys' episode in there, because that'll get some.
Yeah, please do. Get some
listens on there.
Thank you.
Like I said, they're all, like, everybody in this Slack group is a big X-Men. They're all X-Men fanatics. So
yeah, that was kind of my gateway into comics. And that was my first, that and the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, you know.
There's a guy who does TikToks about like all these themes for like kids shows. And it's like, listen, it doesn't have to go that hard, but it's like they're all these like ridiculous theme songs, all those like 90s kids cartoons. I saw one the other day, it was the Spider-Man one, and it's like, what a wild song. Just like, we're just going to make this 30-second banger.
And you know who it was written by? It was written by Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
No shit.
Yeah. And admittedly, not the biggest Aerosmith fan, but like still very cool. You know,
I never would have guessed.
Yeah. So he did that. The X-Men animated series is by a guy named Ron Wasserman. We talked about it in the interview. But yeah, Joe Perry did the Radioactive Spider-Man, that whole thing, which is, yeah, it's a great theme. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Uh-huh. But, I guess to go back, not a big comics person. Like sometimes like when I'm like going down Wikipedia holes and I'll read about some sort of issue or storyline, I'll go to Read Comics Online, which is this like website where you can read any comic for free. You know, and I've read like a variety of stuff. It's not anything specific. Like, you know, I've read like a Darth Vader comic, and I read like the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. You know, I did that. But the worst one was I saw that, you know, I read Watchmen the book, and I really like Watchmen the book a lot. I read that back 10 years ago, something like that. Really like that. And I noticed that DC or Warner or whatever parent company owned those characters, and they decided to bring them into the DC universe. And it just seems so just janky. Just like bringing that very serious storyline in with like the Superman and the Green Lantern and all that.
Yeah, there's a reason Alan Moore stopped being involved after
Watchmen came out. Yeah. It was just barf. And I was just like, yeah, this is just sad. Because it's not like, you know, I hold Watchmen that much higher above like Superman or Batman. They play like two very different roles, but those things like mixed together, you know, it was like mixing together bourbon and like red wine, you know, and it was nasty. Yeah,
that Watchmen book is fucking something else, man, for sure.
It is. So, and I love the HBO series that was on in, I believe, 2019.
That was very cool.
Yeah, that was very good. The Zack Snyder movie, I think, kind of misses a good bit. It misses like the whole political layer of it, because, you know.
Right. I mean, avoid spoiling a movie that came out however long ago and a book that came out even further ago than that. But it's like you change like the one aspect where it's Manhattan instead of the squid.
Yeah.
You guys were so faithful to like every other panel of this book. Yeah. And that's the one thing you guys decided to change.
Oh yeah. That was just like, I don't know. Like,
and then they go to it in the show. So it's like all these people who watched the movie probably came into the show.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. I'm like, wait, why the fuck is it raining squids? I was like, God damn.
Yeah. It's a big, like tonal difference too. And I'll say this about the movie too. It's like, and I don't think this is like Zack Snyder or the writer's fault. I think the studio was like, you need to have a main character. And so you're like, who's it going to be? And they picked Rorschach, which was like, there's no right choice, but Rorschach's not a very good choice, because Rorschach's like, if you read him in the novel, he's sort of like, he's like all like conspiracy theory, you know, like homophobic.
Yeah,
you know,
Rorschach's not a good racist person.
No, he's not a good person at all. Like, you know, like, and And like they saw him and like they saw that and they were like, well, like he's kind of badass. People will think he's badass because he's got the mask on. He's got the whole like noir kind of thing. And that
like
just
he's like the Batman of the story.
Yeah, yeah. But like in but like how Batman would be kind of like in real life, you know, like sort of a you know, like just a bad, you know, person, for lack of a better term. But yeah, and I think the studio was like, you need to pick a main character, and you couldn't pick like Night Owl or Dr. Manhattan. So they had to pick, they picked him, which yeah. And I think that like, after reading the book, I was like thinking back in the movie, I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, but I mean, I think,
you gotta sell masks, brother. You gotta sell those gimmicks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that was like, not just a complete screenwriter choice. I imagine the studio was like, we need to have a main character in this movie or no one's going to know what's going on or relate to anyone. So they picked Rorschach, you know? And so I don't envy the position they were put in, but it was certainly the wrong decision. So.
Yeah. Mike, you got any comic books that you had really had a tough time getting through? Uh-oh, Mike, did we lose you?
Did we lose you?
Okay, we'll come back to that. So, Micah, please come back. So,
I'm sick of listening to these nerds talk about comic books. I'm leaving.
Yeah, he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and like I said, Watchmen's like the only one I really know. You know, because I'm kind of a dork that way. So, but that book, and it's really cool that they made
you know,
the movie.
It's not a bad one to know.
No. And I had a copy of it. I think I gave it to my brother-in-law or my stepbrother. So I have to buy myself another one. So, but obviously, make sure you follow E. Freed on the Twitter machine. And, you know, make sure you catch up all the episodes of Nattering with E on the Podbean. But we've got one from our third member here of our Ring of Honor Triumphant, who's currently going through Apocalyptic Haze with smoke by his house. So, Will, you haven't been really getting affected by that smoke, huh?
Yeah.
It's semi-evident. It's not, I mean, you know, you think with geography, I would experience it a little more here.
Yeah. Because,
like, northern part of New Hampshire is getting it bad. But, you know, like, Brendan shared the picture, like, outside his window. And, like, my other friends in New Jersey posting very similar pictures. But, it's not, there is a little something in the air here, but it's not nearly as bad as like what some other I think Brittany showed me a picture earlier of New York City and like the difference between like what the view normally looks like and what it's looking like now.
Yeah. Bo, are you guys getting any smoke over there from the fires or anything?
Not that I've noticed. No smell or anything. Now it's been, you know, been still pretty not, you know.
Yeah, we had some about a week and a half ago, but I had to chuckle because, listen, living out in Idaho, we had forest fires all the time. So that was, like, par for the course, like, during the summer there. But it really made for some fucking bitching-ass fucking sunsets, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I can imagine. You see, all the pictures in New York that I've seen today that people have posted on Twitter have been fascinating. You know, they've, I mean, there's a degree of beauty to it, but there's a degree of, like, apocalyptic, you know. You know, everything's just all orange and hazy.
Yeah,
and
that brown like that. Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So where in Canada are those fires?
Quebec, I believe.
Okay.
Is what I read.
Oh, yeah, shit. So that's not that far from you then, Will.
No.
Huh. Well, I hope everyone's safe. So, but Brendan's question of dishonor this week. Did you get any wrestling magazines on a semi-regular basis when you were younger? Which ones? And do you get any anymore? Shit, I forgot.
Son of a bitch and thing. I had it queued up and everything, and it didn't play.
Nah, my bad. So, but real quick, I'll kind of start that off being the old guy here when, you know, magazines were still popular. I got a bunch of aftermags. I know PWI was up there. You know, as a kid, there was a gas station that was about 2.5 miles from my house. So I just walked to the gas station and sit there and read magazines all day. Of course, I wouldn't buy anything, and then I walked back to my house. But I had a funny anecdote with that. So I met Jerry Lawler a couple years ago, and I said, "Wow, Jerry Lawler, you're like my favorite wrestler as a kid." For a guy I never saw any matches, he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" I'm like, "Well, they always talked about how awesome you were in the magazine, so I just thought you were an awesome wrestler." So he thought that was kind of a funny thing. But I definitely remember when the WWF magazine started coming out. With their, you know, because it was more of the glossy covers and everything, and kind of reading everything. I kind of wish I'd done more of like the tape trading, because there's all like the mailing addresses and stuff like that. But you know, at this point in my life, I do not read many, you know, wrestling magazines. It's tough because obviously, you know, everything's online. But I did find my dad's library, because my dad and I go to breakfast every other Thursday, and the library we go to after breakfast actually has PWI, hard copy in it. So that was kind of nice to see. So. But yeah, I know you guys are a bit younger than I am, but, did you guys read any wrestling magazines when you guys were kids?
Nah, I'm not wrestling specifically. I mean, I think I had for a period of time, I got ESPN, the magazine. Remember that? It was pretty big. Yeah. It was like Rolling Stone sized. But yeah, big Nintendo Power Kit, you know? Yeah. That was what those two magazines mainly were, the, I guess, big two that occupied my childhood.
Yeah. Will?
Growing up, I think I may have got a PWI once. And I think I got a WWE magazine once. But I never, because like I got PWI and I was like, it was like I was lost. It was too much information all at once. And I was such a new wrestling fan that I'm like, I don't know what any of this is. Like, I don't get how they're ranking these things. Like, I don't know what any of these people, like, I'm looking for people that I know. I'm like, I don't see any, like, I only know the SmackDown roster. Like, where is, there's all these pictures. It's like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah. And back
when it was too much too soon.
Yeah. And you know, like when you were started watching wrestling too, I mean, the quality of wrestling wasn't, you know, very good either. So,
and I mean, as far as now, like I don't sub, like I follow pages or whatever. Like I don't really like, I'm not like subscribed to anybody. I'm not keeping up with anything. Cause for me, my biggest thing for wrestling, like it's fun to watch, you know, you watch like a best of Super Juniors and you get just like ridiculous matches. And I don't want to say for that example specifically that you don't have the story going in, because they did a great job of like weaving stories through the Best of Super Juniors and then into Dominion. But I look at wrestling so much more as just like a storytelling lens. I don't care as much about like the in-ring stuff as much. Like I'm not really looking for like a star rating. I'm looking for more like, how is the story being served, and is the story moving?
Mm-hmm.
Which Ring of Honor in 2013 not so great at getting stories to move along.
No, yeah, they're definitely plagued by one certain storyline. But yeah, it was cool for me. I mean, I was definitely kind of in that golden age of wrestling magazines. You know, the late 80s. Early 90s, so I'd look at the top 10, and there's these three Von Erich boys, you know. Then, of course, you know, 2 years later, they're all dead. You know, obviously, I knew Hulk Hogan and you know, Randy Macho Man Savage were, but then you see all these Japanese wrestlers, and that's kind of how you kept up with, like, NWA, because, you know, in our area, it was a little, AWA was kind of dying down a little bit, but, I mean, WWF was king. You know, being on NBC and everything. So it was just kind of cool to follow, like, you know, Sting in his young career, you know, all the exploits of the, you know, the Four Horsemen and stuff like that in the magazines and everything. So, but I do want to read Brundon's answer here real quick. I was a big on the Aftermags, PWI, The Wrestler, later, WOW, World of Wrestling, also the Raw magazine. I got the PW 500 for many years, discovered a lot of guys that way before the internet was big. So the last time I bought one was a digital PWI 500 2 years ago. Side note, I was crushed. I found out Eddie Elner from PWI was a made-up writer along with a few others. So it's kind of funny that even the wrestlers back in the – or the writers back in the day went kayfabe. So
Even the writers were fake.
Right. But yeah, if you want to, there's a really good book. Actually, Bill Apter wrote a book. It's called I've got it right here. Let me put up on the screen here, but it's called Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken. Bill Apter is really kind of the original, but it's a great book. I definitely recommend it. Or if you want me to mail you my copy, if any of the high fivers hit me up, I'd be more than happy to mail it to you. So yeah, it's definitely worth it. It's a lot of fun, you know, a nostalgia trip for me. So
what a great name.
It just what a great title. You know, like the kids like to say, it just writes itself. So Mike, are you with us? Did we lose Micah?
May have, I don't know.
Oh, Micah, come back.
He's not in the room. It looks like it's just three of us.
Okay. Well, I'll text him, see if he's coming back. So hopefully.
Yeah.
If people are interested in like wrestling history and they do like comics, there is, I'll tweet it later. I don't remember what the exact name of it is, but it's like a comic book history of pro wrestling. It's like a big book and it's dense. Like it's not you'd think it's a quick read, but it is very wordy and there's a lot of information, but it's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Faith got me a copy of that. So I don't know where mine is actually. I didn't even finish it yet. So, well, cool.
Well, there's a lot there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, but obviously, you
so
know,
I was listening to something talking about the Nitro book and I'm like, I still need to get back. I only read like the first couple of chapters of that Nitro book. And I'm like, I'm lost. Like all this, like I'm taking in these words and they mean nothing to me.
Yeah. My next wrestling book is actually, the Tito Santana book, which is supposed to be really good. So, Olay. So, but, real quick here, before we go and dive into TV, do you guys have anything else you want to address before we take a quick break here and plug all our friends?
Not off the top of my head, my friend.
Okay. Will, you good for a little bit? Oh, Will, your hair looks really nice, by the way.
I don't know. Thank you. I said earlier, I got to get my ears lowered, and Brittany looked at me funny. I do need to get it cleaned up a little bit. But. Nah.
Well, sweet. We're just going to take a quick friends. So enjoy all this wonderful commercial from all our good friends here at the Shining Wizards Network. And we'll see everybody on the other side. All right, make sure you follow all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards Network. But obviously, I would be remiss to mention, make sure we do need to actually get maybe a commercial block for Visionaries Global Media. So obviously, follow Chad and Diesel over at VFTR 2.0. They are on a little bit of a hiatus, but they do put out content once in a while. But, you know, you can hear Diesel recently on the Brainbuster Boys. Another great episode, by the way, Bo.
Thank you.
And Chad is actually joining us tomorrow for a watch along. So watch that on the Visionaries Global Field. But obviously, check out the Brainbuster Boys. Like I said, if you're listening to this show and you're not listening to the Brainbuster Boys or Band from Ringside, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. All great shows here. Obviously, Matt and Graham over at Good Cop, Bad Cop. Great guys, you know, and Chad and Matt and all the crew over Dungeons and Junkies and Chris Talks Games. I don't think I'm missing anybody. If I am, I'm sorry. But yeah, make sure you check out all the great shows over at Visionaries Global Media. You know, Will, I know you said you might be checking out the Dungeons and Junkies, so it'd be fun to hear how it goes. So yeah, they still got their wolf. I don't know. They got a new campaign, so yeah. But gentlemen, the main event of the evening. This is Ring of Honor episode TV 90. Original air date June 8th,
2013. One decade tomorrow.
Yep. And they kind of fucked
up. Time to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps.
Because technically, when we first started, it was supposed to, these episodes were supposed to drop the day after TV, but then they fucked up the dates on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I already got my Saturday slot. I always ask Will this, but Bo, do you by chance remember what you're doing June 2013?
Oh boy. I was, when was Bonnaroo 2013? Cause I might've been at Bonnaroo cause I went that year.
No shit.
Let me see. I was getting ready to go there as a matter of fact. So I was gearing up, for that because that was June the 13th. So that would have been the Thursday. So June the 8th would have been
wow.
That.
Sunday. So yeah, it was, that's exactly what I was doing.
Wow. And Will, you were just getting back home from college? Kind of hanging out? June 2013?
2013. I have to count 9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12, 12, 13. I would have been in New Hampshire at that point.
Nice. Okay.
I would have been on the summer, and I would have two classes to finish up to get my degree.
Yeah, I was just starting my what would end up being one of my favorite, actually probably my favorite job of all time, is, you know, doing the general store thing out in Idaho. My first summer, Faith and I were starting our relationship at this point. I'll just put that out there because she's not home to yell at me about that. She wouldn't yell at me, but yeah, it's hard to imagine. You know, it was 10 years ago we started kind of hanging out exclusively, so I don't know how the fuck she's put up with me this long, but she's pretty much a fucking saint at this point. So, yeah, real quick before we do want to dive into the episode, I do want to shout out one of our Lowell High Fivers that was recently injured and kind of cracked open her head. So, shout out to SJ. Hope you're feeling better. We appreciate all the shout outs. I know you're got a little bit more time here to listen to podcasts, but make sure you heal your dome. Those concussions ain't no joke. So feel better soon, and I will let you know when your tickets are on the way. So, very tickets, Jesus, stickers. So, all right, gentlemen, Ring of Honor TV episode 1990. We're still in Toronto. Yeah, so Bo, give you a little background. Their latest pay per view was in Toronto. And what they usually do is they tape a bunch of house shows after. Like the next day. So a lot of these people have been sitting in the arena for a while. We get Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness, who I'm assuming both of you are familiar with, obviously. So, okay. And then, but no Steve Corino. But to start off the episode. Wait, did I delete something? Okay, because Matt Taven was... Okay, Pepper Parks and Taven were the first match, right?
They were, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I got a really old version. It's Open Office Writer here. It's a black market Office or Microsoft Office thing. So sometimes it just deletes like whole paragraphs for no apparent reason. But we start off the episode. We hear this the Take Your Pants Off song. Horrible. But Truth comes out with Hoopla Hot Scarlet, and I'm just gonna call her Maria. Yeah, Bo, did you by any chance recognize the redheaded Hoopla Hottie?
I did not know. Oh, it's Scarlet, right?
Yep, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, was Karrion Kross in Ring of Honor at this time?
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if he even really did a stint. I know he was huge in Impact, I believe.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he went to Ring. That's a good question. But Truth gets on the mic. I have some stuff to say. Well, kind of. Once again, the sound sucked. You know, Will, were you surprised on the shitty sound work here? I'm like... You're in, you know, on broadcast TV. But yeah, basically, Truth calls out Lethal. Yeah, caught Bobby Cruz eyeing up Scarlet, getting a little creepy, pervy there. But he issues an open challenge, and like we talked about in pre-production, it was Pepper Parks. Now the Blade of Butcher and Blade in AEW versus Matt Taven. Yeah, Truth calls Pepper. Cuts a promo on Pepper, calls him, you know, his father's disappointment. Parks insults Truth. Taven jumps him. The match starts. You know, solid back and forth. Nothing too crazy. Parks and they tell a story. He was going to quit wrestling, but the match, you know, he wanted to reinvent himself. And then I must have deleted my things are really horrible here. So I don't remember how the match ended. And I know Matt Taven hit that thing on it. So all in all, that was a really shitty review. Sorry. Yeah, Matt Taven won. With that really, yeah, I do like that TV, that DDT. But Bo, as just, you know, kind of an introduction to Ring of Honor here for a little bit. What'd you think of this match and the promo and Truth Martini and everything? Hopefully didn't lead you too much because.
Oh, no, you didn't. You know, I thought it was, you know, like I said, it had that indie wrestling, that very ramshackle, you know, just kind of like the ring just kind of had that very, you know, like it sounded like it was full of aluminum cans. But yeah, you know, like this is, you know, like it has the indie show vibe, but you know, the guys just look the part. It's a lot more, you know, just bigger and just more precise than an indie show. But yeah, didn't know Pepper Parks was Blade at first. I kept thinking, go back to comic books. I kept thinking when they said that, I thought it was Pepper Potts. It's like Tony Stark's, what is it, his It's the woman that, the part that Gwyneth Paltrow plays is a assistant or is his, I think it was his love interest. But yeah, you know, I thought this was a pretty good opening match, you know, pretty solid. I mean, you know, pretty
good. You know, Pepper Parks just isn't the same to me since he cut his pigtails off. So
yeah. No, as the Blade, he looks very, you know, just kind of trashy, you know, a little bit. Yeah.
In a fun
the
way.
The Blade is very Rorschach-y.
He is very Rorschach-y.
Yeah,
yeah, I think he keeps a journal with all kinds of nasty things in there. You know,
yeah.
My wife tried to serve me tofu again tonight.
You know?
Yeah, but during the match, we did find out it's official that Michael Elgin's facing Ciampa at Best in the World. But yeah, and I did find my notes here. I'm sorry about that, guys. But yeah, they did show the replay. Really kind of a bad camera angle because they really show that Taven really protected Parks on that DDT. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of picking nits, but then we get a commercial. 855 Cash Now. Will, I have not called them back. I will call them back.
I mean, do you need cash now?
I don't need cash now, but I would like to interview the call center person, see, you know, if I can get some information.
I'm sure that would make that person's day. They're slogging through their day. And there's someone well, hey there. My name's Milwaukee Tom.
Do you have a couple minutes? I know you're on the clock and everything, so
it's listen, how much long is your shift? We'll just shoot the breeze. You don't have to talk to anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it. I mean, if they're okay with it. Bull, have you ever worked
on all those calls are going to be recorded. So somebody's going to have to sit down for a review and this looks like, how long does this conversation go?
Yep.
What's a ring of honor?
Yeah. Bull, have you ever worked in a call center?
No, I have not, actually. I have not.
It's hell.
I can imagine, yeah.
It's not as bad as packing groceries, it's not as bad as packing groceries, but it's... Yeah, better than washing dishes.
I answer phones for one of my jobs, not all the time, not as my sole main duty. But I've had enough exposure to it to feel like I have a decent idea of how bad it can be.
I hate it. I worked for a student loan servicer, and that was
Wow. Yeah. So the phone calls you have to make are not fun calls. Yeah.
Right. And then nobody ever calls in happy either.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, the job I've got now, I started off in the call center. Yeah, and you're dealing with, you know, dental Medicaid patients. Fuck.
Yeah. Yep.
But next we get a real quick promo. Jay is going to whip his brother's ass on iPay-per-view. And then he tells everyone to come back the next day, and, you know, they're going to celebrate Mark's ass-whooping. Classic Jay Briscoe quick promo. You know, we say it every week on the show, but yeah, we miss you. That still sucks, but this week, Will, this is a new thing they've been doing, Bull, but you can text a certain number and you can get a picture of Scarlett Bordeaux sent to you.
Wow.
That number does not work any longer. I did text.
Does it not? Yeah.
I tried that also, but it didn't work out. So, because we've had Adam Cole and Michael Elgin so far, right, Will?
And CNC Wrestle Factory.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, CNC Wrestle Factory. So, but we talked about this one in production. We got Tommaso Ciampa and his new music, which I'm kind of digging, versus Rip Impact. But it looks like Rip Impact still active. You know, he's won a bunch of titles up in Canada and everything. So, and we follow him on Twitter now, Will. We do follow Rip Impact on Twitter. So, through Ring of Honor Reverie on Twitter Machine. But Ciampa comes out, demolishes quick, but Rip does kind of kick out of one of a pretty nasty move, which I thought was kind of odd. But obviously Ciampa does the delayed suplex as a shot at Michael Elgin. Michael Elgin comes out with the words, shout out to Brendan's question last week. Michael Elgin protein bars. So. But yeah, at the end, Ciampa hits an air raid single with a second rope, gets the pin, him and Elgin stare at each other, screaming, screaming Sicilian psychopath pizza, but Elgin says he picked a fight, or I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking here, guys, sorry. Basically, Ciampa and Elgin stare at each other. So we are getting Michael Elgin versus Tommaso Ciampa. Now, Bo, are you familiar with Michael Elgin at all?
I am not. No. Yeah, I'm familiar with Ciampa. We whenever we were covering WWE, he was a big guy in NXT, and now he's like partnered with The Miz in a part that's just kind of like weird for him. Because it seems like he's like a pretty, you know, good. I mean, he's a smaller guy, which I know like is not like, you know, doesn't bode well for your prospects on the main roster, like on Raw. But yeah, you know, like, you know, I thought he was great in NXT. Fuck, who do you have? Oh, he had a big match against Walter.
Yeah.
Big clash of styles, big chop fest. But yeah, he had a great showing. It was a good, like, it was at like one of their standard delivers, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an excellent match, I thought.
Yeah, that was kind of like the exit for both of them. Like I said, you know, as they were kind of transitioning, I think, to the 2.0 and everything. But yeah, obviously his rivalry with Johnny Gargano was just fucking, I mean, things of legend. So it's really kind of cool to see him here. He was on a podcast with Lillian Garcia, and I want to re-listen to it. I can't fucking find it. But I guess Ring of Honor, like, he had a lot of start and stops, but he just came back from a knee injury. Yeah, but Michael Elgin, he's just, I mean, you look at the guy, you wouldn't think he can fucking go. Like, he's one of those big, strong, tough dudes that can actually, like, really work in the ring. So that's going to be a really fun one. And one of our questions last week was just, from Rob, was wrestler food pizza. So that's what, and Brunnen's was, Michael Elgin protein bars, because he got busted in Japan stealing protein bars. But Will came up with the Screaming Sicilian Psychopath Pizza.
There you go.
So, do you guys have Screaming Sicilian up by you guys?
We don't, no. It sounds nice, though.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, see, I thought it was just a Wisconsin thing, but Wilson's got it up by him, so...
Wow, yeah, no, I guess it must be a North thing, because, yeah, it's my first year at Grubbit.
Yeah. But Will's favorite time of the week, inside Ring of Honor, Will. Oh, did you have any quick thoughts there on Ciampa and Rip Impact and the little stare-down from Ciampa and Michael Elgin's whispering sweet nothings in each other's ear?
I mean, it's a great non-story, right? They really, it's just, we're going to have these two wrestle and we're not going to tell you why. We're not going to tell you why they're like chippy with each other. They're just going to be. It's like, okay, cool.
That's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to the match, though. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you're a mark.
I am a mark. That is very, very true. I mean, well, it's in the name of the show. So, I mean, you know, but inside Ring of Honor. We review Ciampa's demolishing of QT Marshall and RD Evans. So I know, Bo, you're a big fan of QT, and should be. He's really good. But yeah, because basically RD Evans was Ciampa's manager, and then he kind of sold him out for QT, and then we came back from injuries, came in and beat the crap out of him. So
yeah.
And then, you know, Ciampa and Elgin have their little talk, and they're whispering each other ears. So this is their first time ever match, which I find it hard to believe, but I'll do some research. Elgin understands what Ciampa is doing. You know, Elgin would have done the same thing, going after the biggest dog in the yard. And then he says his catchphrase, God created all men equal, but they were wrong, blah, blah, blah. Then we see Adam Cole almost super kick Jay after their match earlier this month. But Adam Cole says, you know, his integrity didn't change. Once he's lost his TV title, he just switched his attitude. He's taking on Rye Strong in Baltimore, best in the world. And we're also getting Steen versus
a match that we already saw at a live event that we
covered like 2 weeks ago. But we're getting Steen versus Matt Hardy. So Bo, were you even aware that Matt Hardy was ever in Ring of Honor?
I think so. Like, I know Brett had said, like, pretty much like half the AEW wrestler and a lot of people in WWE have been like in through Ring of Honor somehow. Like the Adam Cole and that like Adam Cole and that whole Undisputed is what they were called. Bucks, Hangman, all that. And then I think Matt Hardy was also mentioned.
Yeah, and new addition, obviously Roddy Strong, to AEW. But real quick, Steen seemed kind of off in his promos. Like, he's kind of stuttering a little bit lately, or is it just me?
I don't know. Maybe he's just been out of shape at his buddies in WWE, and he's still part of the Scum storyline.
That's a good point. Yeah, because Sami Zayn / El Generico and Steen were a huge tag team / feud in WWF. So it's cool to see them on Mania. But Steen or Generico got called up to NXT and Steen's still in Ring of Honor. So yeah, maybe he's bitter. Steen's going to cure the cancer that is Matt Hardy. I was like, wow. And then we're getting BJ Whitmer versus Jay Briscoe. But we already watched that match like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, it's kind of tough with the TV episodes here, Bo, because I mean, you know, they're taping so many,
right?
And they kind of lose track. They're usually pretty decent about it, but yeah, that BJ Whitmer Jay Briscoe match happened in a house show like 2 weeks ago that Will and I covered. Great match though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know obviously Brett knows BJ Whitmer, but did you ever get some? So you've gone to Dynamite with Brett with BJ's tickets, right?
I have, but I've never. I actually whenever the graphic came up.
Yeah.
That was my first time seeing what BJ Whitmer looked like.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had a different image of what he looked like. Like sort of as like a W, like an AEW, like women's person, you know. now he's got much more of the wrestler look, I can see. Yeah. But yeah, you know. But yeah, I remember I was like, oh, BJ Whitmer, I finally get to see what he looks like. I was like, I didn't think that's what he looked like. Much more like a wrestler than a backstage guy.
Yeah, he's been. I mean, he was out of wrestling for a little while because he broke his neck and then he went to drug, you know, the story. But he's had like two or three really nasty drops on his head.
Oh, jeez.
Jay Briscoe in that match dropped him over the top rope onto his head through a table. So it was like, aye.
Wow.
You know, we go to a quick segment here with Nigel and Kevin Kelly. But Toronto, man, they were on fire. This crowd is really into the show. You know, but we get Scum, you know, and basically Steve Corino's running, you know, basically Ring of Honor's version of NWO. You know, and Kevin Kelly's talking on here how Carino's mad that his guys got iced to best in the world because basically everyone's got first contender, number one contender matches, but none of his guys. You know, and he's not giving Matt Hardy a world title shot, but Nigel's a coward. No number one contender matches. Carino berates Nigel. Basically it's Scum's in the ring. Berates Nigel, but then CNC Wrestle Factory and Lethal, the new number two, new number one contenders come out. Lots of word. And then, once again, Steve Corino drops the Ring of Homies line. And then we get a That's Racist chant. I thought that was pretty funny, especially considering we're in Canada. But Corino snaps his finger and a brawl comes out. I'm just going to let you know right off the bat, bro, we are not fans of this Scum storyline. As this is your first episode, your first exposure, what did you think of this promo here with Steve Corino and everybody?
It was just silly because I remember those two guys were staring at each other and then there was just chaos just billowing around him. I did see this guy in the Scum shirt. Thought it was just kind of funny. You know, he kind of looked like, you know, he was kind of embodying the Scum. Didn't know what Scum stood for, whether it was a metaphor, whether it was being the word, since it's in all caps here, I assume it's an acronym, but yeah, you know, it was just kind of fun. But also it sort of reminds me of like, sort of just this chaos, like whenever I see Jay Lethal now, it's always sort of with Jeff Jarrett and kind of these there's always all this like chicanery and stuff, you know, with that tag team. And it was kind of funny just to see that sort of happening here too.
Yeah. It's been going on, but, oh my gosh, why am I spacing it, Will? It's suffering, chaos, something, and
is that ugliness?
Mayhem. Oh, ugliness and mayhem.
Suffering, chaos, ugliness, and mayhem.
This is what Scum stands for.
Hi, Sunshine. I mean, I would say all four of those are pretty equal.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's not like the Odd Future rap song, Odd Future, there's, you know, it's like a rap group with like Tyler the Creator and Earl Sweatshirt and Frank Ocean. They have this song where they chanted, kill people, burn shit, and fuck school, which like all those three things go down in severity, people hard, like kill people, the worst, burn shit, arson, and then fuck school. That's, you know, truancy. That's actually stolen from Hannibal Buress, completely ripped. So I will go ahead and give credit to that. But that's, you know, it's the opposite of that. S, C, U, and M are all equally bad. So
this story's gone nowhere in like the 2 months they've been pushing it.
Yeah, it is what it is. But Jimmy Jacobs in there, and Jimmy Jacobs is the man. So, Sunshine, there's dinner on the stove for you. We get another 855 cash now ad. So I don't know if you guys need any cash right now. You can call them. Yeah, Mark welcomes everyone to Baltimore. We get a quick promo from our national treasure, Mark Briscoe, telling everyone to come down to Baltimore. And so basically what's going to happen, Bo, is that the Briscoe brothers are going to fight for the title. at Best of the World, which is right down the road from Sandy Fork, Delaware. So,
wow. Heck yeah.
So, our main event. The Briscoe Boys versus the American Wolves. Now, Bo, are you familiar with Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards at all?
No, I am not. No, I remember I was trying to, Brett was like, who's in the main event? I was like, well, it was the Briscoes, know them. And then I was like, it was the Wolves, you know, they howled. And then Azar and him were like, oh yeah, it was this, you know, that we were, they were like, oh, was it? Originally they said like, were it these two Japanese wrestlers? I was like, no, it's not them. You know, yeah. But then they said Eddie Edwards. And I was like, okay, I remember that. It's the, you know, repeated first letter of the first and last name, like a superhero to go back to comic books, Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Yeah, Eddie Edwards. Yeah, he's actually still pretty prominent in Impact Wrestling still. So, but wow. Davey Richards recently beat up his wife and got canceled. So, they were
allegedly beat up his wife.
Sorry, yeah, allegedly, just to cover myself here. So, but yeah, so I did not know this. I mean, these two are, you know, Kevin Kelly says it right off in the promo. These two are the measuring stick of tag teams in Ring of Honor, and that's a fact, 100%. And really, there's no, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find two teams more evenly matched than these two.
Yeah.
I know it's TV, but I was kind of bummed it only got 13 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I really like the start. Eddie and Mark kind of starting off, and you know, it was actually great pro wrestling. Those guys doing mixing in the joking stuff and doing actually like wrestling. And you know, Davey Richards, you know, at this point is getting booed pretty heavily. Well, they're still in Toronto. Yeah, so Canada does not like Davey Richards. So,
and just a little kind of like a story fill in for you, Bo, in case you don't know. So Richards was the world champion relatively recently. And he's been kind of chippy about getting in the mix with that. They've kind of been tussling with Red Dragon for the tag belts. But they've also been hyping up that in all their years of competition, the American Wolves have never beat the Briscoes in a match.
Yeah. And that really shocked me. I was surprised. So, yeah, and then, you know, Davey gets Mark in a corner, starts doing the yes kicks, obviously, at the show up to Brian Danielson, and then he realizes that it's over, and he stops, and he starts yelling at people. Bo, have you ever seen Redneck Kung Fu from Mark Briscoe before?
I have not, no.
Oh, it is a thing of fucking beauty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has he done it on any of his AEW stuff, or is it kind of just a deep cut?
I don't know. It's not really a deep cut, but I haven't really watched since he came on. I'd imagine so.
Okay.
But Mark's just a funny motherfucker, but
yeah.
But I was wondering, I don't know if Davey Richards and Brian Danielson ever wrestled each other, because Brian Danielson was huge in Ring of Honor for like the first 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they ever crossed paths. Will, do you remember that by any chance off top of your head? I make it look it up, but what the fuck fun that be?
I have no idea, Tom. That's before what we're watching, and I don't go back and watch stuff.
Fair enough. Yeah, but Davey Richards had Jay in an arm bar. Mark hits a froggy bowl. But it's pretty cool that Davey let his arm go so he didn't break it. So I don't know if you guys saw that. You know, shout out to Freeds again real quick because he's from Toronto. Tony Khan, what the fuck are you doing? You could have had Border Wars. You got Forbidden Door. A Border Wars pay-per-view the day before would have been perfect. But in earlier, Davey Richards had hit a double stomp on this guy called Paul London. But he supposedly slipped. And actually, so you've seen, you know, obviously like Cameron Grimes or Finn Balor do the double stomp. Mm-hmm. Richards did it to this guy on his fucking face.
Oh, my God. Just like straight, like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. On the apron.
Yeah. On the apron at the hardest part of the ring.
Probably just tore him up, didn't it?
Yeah. He finished the match. Amazingly enough. But I think it's the first double stomp since then. Mm-hmm. In the end, the Briscoes go for the Doomsday Device, but it's thwarted. So Mark goes to punch Davey. Davey ducks, and Mark smacks Jay in the mouth. And we get a double or a tombstone double team. And for the first time, like I said, it shocked me. So, Bo, you saw some history here.
I did. Oh, yeah.
The American Wolves finally beat the Briscoes. And the million-dollar question is, would that have happened if Jay hadn't punched Mark in the mouth? What do you guys think?
Hmm.
They gotta sow that seed of dissension, right?
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah, and they have to make it not seem like it was their, you know, like it was a mistake that they lost. You know, like the mistake was sort of what springboarded into the pinfall there. So yeah, you know, I mean, certainly it's set up that way, I think.
Yeah. Is their teamwork going to get sloppy because they're going to have a match with each other?
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out. So. You know, I kind of bogarted the notes there, but, Will, did you have anything to add to that match?
No, not really. I mean, compared to some singles matches we've had between these four people, I think we've seen much better outings from them, all together. I mean, the thing that sticks out the most was the chop segment earlier in the match with the Redneck Kung Fu, and they both come up from the mat and they're both like have like a chop ready, but they both like back off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all...
it's fine. You know, the Wolves gonna win. I mean, the tag team division has really kind of stepped back with the other storylines that are going on. So the Wolves are, you know, one of the top teams still. They get a win.
Yeah. Bo, what did you think? Obviously, as this is your first time seeing the American Wolves, mm-hmm. and your first time really kind of digging into Ring of Honor, I don't mean to assume for everybody, but this is obviously this match was really the highlight of the episode personally for me.
For sure. Yeah. I think it was like a cut above everything else, you know, like, you know, especially like just sort of knowing the Briscoes. I mean, there was just like the look of the wrestlers and just kind of what was going on just in terms of just coordination and action. You know, this was just, you know, head and shoulders, you know, and I mean, given there were only two other matches and, you know, the Ciampa one was pretty short, but yeah, this one, you know, I mean, I almost wish this one would have gotten a little bit more time, but yeah. In terms of just like in-ring stuff and storytelling, yeah, this one was head and shoulders, you know, above the rest, and like just a, you know, just a good main event. I mean, the show went by, you know, sped by pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, I see what you're talking about too, where it's like, oh yeah, they just film a bunch of these back to back. You know, it reminds me of when Brett and I were at Derby City Wrestling here. And I mean, they filmed like, I think, three shows. We were there for like 3 hours and it was just like, boom, boom, boom.
Oof, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I can see how that just quick, just, you know, pace, like, you know, goes on, especially, you know, just with, but I mean, I don't know. I think this was just a really great main event and just, you know, like I said, head and shoulders, you know, not to shit on the other two matches, but just to, you know, really accentuate how good this one was.
Yeah. No,
Matt David from Derry, New Hampshire, shit all over it.
Well, Bo, I mean, like Will and I always ask each other, at the end of it, and obviously, you know, one of the main reasons you're on besides your charming personality, inside, if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor TV that you ever saw, would you tune in next week?
Yeah, I definitely would. You know,
nice. Okay.
Especially with all the nice teases and stuff, you know, I think it kind of got better as we went along. And I mean, I guess for me too, like the recognition helps, you know, like being like having a good time recognizing these guys and like asking Brett, like, how old is Adam Cole? Oh, he's like our age. Like, shit. He was like a kid when he was on that. But yeah, you know, I think in terms of just promo and stuff and building the thing up, you know, I thought it was solid. And I mean, all the Ring of Honor stuff I've watched has been really good. You know, like having like started watching wrestling with, and I assume everyone's done this with like WWE, AEW, WCW, whatever it is, you know, stuff on TV that's made for TV with a bunch of cameras and a production team and all this stuff. And like getting used to Ring of Honor just being sort of like it, more like what I've seen with indie wrestling, you know, like it's the best of both of those things, I think. And yeah, no, I definitely would keep going for sure.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. You know, it wasn't a bad episode. I mean, you know, definitely the main event would have intrigued me. I mean, the whole Ciampa Elgin thing. I know, Will, you're not too high on that, but I mean, it's like you see this big guy and you see this, you know, crazy, you know, smaller guy. How the fuck they gonna make that work? I'm looking forward to that match. So, I would probably tune in next week.
Someone's talking to call the biggest dog in the yard. Well, the biggest dog in the yard hasn't won any matches that matter. And how long? So is he really the biggest dog in the yard?
I mean, stature wise, but yeah, other than that, yeah. I mean,
he's like 5 foot two.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Elgin had like 3 match of the year contenders last year, but of course he lost all of them. So that's a good point. I didn't even thought of that. So yeah, but Will, if this is your if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor TV, would you keep watching?
I don't know. I don't think overall this episode was as good as some of the other more recent ones have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd say it's definitely a step down from last week. I think last week's episode was better. I mean, if they didn't have the scum segment, I think that would be a huge difference. Because, like, we're talking about the time for the main event, I looked at the how much time was left in the episode. It's like, all right, there's only one match left. They're going to give us like 25 minutes. And then Carino came out. I'm like, this is going to take like 10 minutes.
And it did.
And it's going to add nothing new. Nothing that he hasn't already said in another promo or hasn't screamed about or whatever. And it's, I'm over it. Like,
yeah.
Wake me when it's over. Like,
yeah, you take that segment out and you give those guys 20, 25 minutes, they could fucking do some magic, but yeah.
Like, I'd take House of Torture. It's like, I need something like the House of Torture. To like, it's just so monotonous, right? Because you have these people, like Jimmy Rave just disappears. He's never part of the group anymore. And it's like, oh, Cliff Compton and whatever tag, like, so why didn't they jump in the middle of the tag match? Why aren't they kind of staking their claim more so? I mean, the answer is because Red Dragon are heels and Scum are heels, and they don't want to do a heel versus heel storyline.
Yeah, it's a tough time in Ring of Honor for tag teams, which is odd because the Young Bucks do make a comeback at the end of the year, so that's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. But we've got this team called the Bravado Brothers. So, but yeah, CNC Wrestle Factory, if you're a good chance, I said, yeah, those guys are awesome. Cedric Alexander, which is in WWE now, but he's just wasting away. I mean, he's a classic example. I love to see him in the Best of the Super Junior, so I'm a Cedric guy. But, yeah, all in all, a good time. But, before we pull the train into the proverbial station here, gentlemen, did you guys have anything else you want to add?
Yeah. I mean, thank you for inviting me on to do this. This was fun as hell.
Yeah. I'm glad we finally got to do this. Sorry, it took me a little while, but Paul, obviously make sure you plug all of your, so you're doing editing for other podcasts too.
I am. Yeah. I guess I'll number one plug Brainbuster Boys right in the middle of a big fun storyline. Our next episode should be out sometime next week, at Brainbuster Boys on Twitter and Instagram. I also edit for Creating Our Way, which is like it's a mindfulness podcast. This guy, the namesake Antonio Saunders on here is having me do. I'm kind of editing it and doing like a little like speech, like writing of his stuff for him. So I don't know when that's going to be out, but we're doing that. But also, we're on episode 10 of the RV Destinations podcast, which is from the RV Destinations magazine. So they're just kind of two of my clients that I work for, but Brainbuster Boys is my baby. So like, follow, subscribe that on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and listen to our newest story because we put a lot into it and it's a lot of fun.
Are we, I know we had Mike on for a little while. Are we going to get Beaumont Reads Wikipedia episode anytime soon?
I mean, there's one that's fully edited and ready to go. I just like, yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Will, my friend, you got anything?
Just as always, everybody who listens, people who send in questions, Shining Wizards, all the our friends and family there, VGM, all our friends and family there. As always, if you enjoyed the comic book talk earlier, highly recommend Comic Book Couples Counseling podcast. I also enjoy, there's one called None of My Friends Like Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Where I got to call this and have an extensive comic reading background. So I think the kayfabe is, dead, brother.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I really couldn't put it any better than Will did. But yeah, make sure you check out, you know, old Ring of Honor if you've got Honor Club. You know,
or don't. Maybe you skip a few years. Maybe you just skip to 2021 when the Pure Tournament starts up again.
We've got some good years coming up ahead of us, Will. So, you know, you're stuck with me now.
We still have to decide if we're taking a hiatus when
Ring of Honor takes a hiatus in 2031.
When Ring of Honor hits the hiatus.
Yeah, when the world flips upside down. So, awesome. Well, Bo, thank you again for coming on.
Thanks again, guys. Yeah, much appreciated, you all.
Yeah, Will, thanks for you know, for doing this with me every week. And Micah, we will get you back, my friend. Hopefully get your Wi fixed out. But high fivers, we will talk to everybody later.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.